So then with that reading, it's now time to ask Brother Josh to lead us in his class this evening entitled, By Your Endurance, You Will Gain Your Lives. Brother Josh.
Thank you. I hope everyone can see that okay.
Looks good.
Perfect, thanks. So good evening, everyone. It's nice to be with you all on this brisk Thursday evening. I hope you're having a great week so far. This evening, as announced, I want to talk about endurance, the type of endurance that we find in the Word of God and in Christ. Spiritual endurance is actually a lot like physical endurance. So before we look at the spiritual, we'll first briefly consider physical endurance. I first came across wanting to do a study on the subject when I came across a verse in Luke 21 and verse 19, which was read for us this evening, where it says, by your endurance, you will gain your life. Soon after I was thinking about this verse, I was kicking a soccer ball around on a field, and no sooner had I been there for a few short minutes, I found myself out of breath. I thought that this subject would be fitting now as we head into just over a year of living in a world that is plagued by a virus, which can potentially take a toll both on our physical and our spiritual health. So the outline for this evening, for our study together, God willing, I'd like to begin by going further into what endurance is and its importance. Next, I want to examine a word that can commonly be found next to that word endurance in the New Testament, which is joy. And we will consider why these seemingly opposite words are portrayed together in a positive light. And then we will close by looking at the tools we have been given in our life to help us and encourage us with our endurance on the path that is set before us towards God's kingdom. So what is endurance? Well, the word means in the English dictionary, the fact or power of enduring an unpleasant or difficult process or situation without giving way. We have heard it said before by others that our walk towards the kingdom of God isn't a sprint. It's a long distance run. And this is absolutely true. And because of this, we need to have an endurance with the race that is set before us. We think of the verse in Hebrews 12, let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. And we'll come back to this passage later on to consider. So not long after I read Luke 21 and verse 19 and realizing that I don't have very good physical stamina, that's when I decided to start going for jogs. And while I've been going on a few runs, I've realized and been able to become familiar with the various stages that are involved in running. And this is what I've noticed and observed when going on my runs. The basic stages of running, with my experience, first we have the mental, finding the motivation and the energy to get started. Then it's the training and preparation, stretching, maybe starting with a short walk or slow jog to get up the heart rate. And then we're good to go. I always start off great. Breathing is good. In through the nose, out through the mouth. My mentality is great. I feel like I can go forever. And then halfway through my run, this is about the time when I start to get a cramp. My breathing changes and quickens. I'm no longer breathing with my nose, but just through my mouth. And my legs start to feel heavy and my pace begins to slow. Now it's more of a mental game. My body is telling me one thing and I'm placed with two decisions. One, I can take a break and walk, or I can keep pressing on. If we choose to keep going, now it's time to focus on the present, each step in each stride, thinking about putting one foot in front of another. When you're able to do this and keep this up, the pain seems to subside and you feel like you're able to keep going. One might call this your second wind, which is a newfound strength or energy to be able to continue on. So like physical exercise and specifically running here, when I do play sport, like pickup sports like soccer, ball hockey, or basketball, these are all sports that require small bursts of energy. And people might think that I'm in great shape when they see me play these sports, but in reality, this isn't the case. Is our faith at all like this? Short bursts of energy when during the times when I feel like I'm in a great place, I'm able to endure? Or am I developing a patient endurance, a type of endurance that is needed as we wait for the return of Christ? You see, physical endurance is not at all about lifting heavy weights with low repetitions. It's about lifting lighter weights with more repetitions. For example, you might be able to curl a 50-pound dumbbell 3 times. But this isn't building physical endurance. Lifting 20-pound weight 100 times is more what we are thinking of here. And it's the same with our faith and our spiritual endurance. By putting our time and our energy and our life into what we love, the Word of God and His promises, we can slowly start to find endurance, even in the more difficult days. So turn with me or follow along with me on the verse that's on this slide here. A verse that I feel that there can be at times some misunderstanding on. In 1 Timothy 4 and verse 8. 1 Timothy 4 and verse 8 reads, "For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promises of the life that is now and of the life which is to come." Bodily exercise profiteth little. Well, actually, we know that it is extremely beneficial. Bodily exercise keeps our bodies healthy, especially as we age. Bodily exercise helps our minds and our energy level, and so much more. So what is this verse saying then? Because truly it is profitable. It is important. What this verse is saying is that next to spiritual exercise, physical exercise is nothing. Next to spiritual endurance and training, physical exercise is minuscule. So physical endurance isn't going to profit us when we are faced with the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, or the pride of life. It's spiritual exercise. It's spiritual endurance that will profit us much. And the ESV translates it this way: "For while bodily training is of some value, godliness is of value in every way, as it holds promise for the life, the present life, and also for the life to come." Exercise of the body has value, but only in this life. Spiritual exercise has benefits not only in this life, but in the life to come. And we can see spiritual endurance being reflected in this verse in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 17, which reads, "This light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory." So what about when we are faced with a trial that seems to linger? At the start of the pandemic last year, I felt great. I had the right mindset, ready to help and to have more time help with my spiritual walk. And maybe you felt the same. But how are we doing now, a year in? How are we doing in this third stage of running that I described in the previous slide? So turn with me to Luke chapter 21, which was the chapter read for us this evening, if you're not there already. And here we find the writer speaking about AD 70. These men and women were going to need a lot of physical endurance to run to the mountains. They were going to need to apply spiritual endurance also through this extremely difficult and scary trial that was going to come upon the city. We can see also and understand in this passage is to be speaking about the return of Christ, as we read in verse 25 to 28. Starting at verse 25, "There will be signs in the sun and the moon and the stars on the earth, dismay among nations in perplexity at the roaring of the sea and waves, men fainting for fear and the expectations of things which are coming upon the world, for the powers in the heavens will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in the cloud with power and great glory. But when we see these things take place, straighten up and lift up your heads, your redemption draweth near." And by these words also in verse 19, "By your endurance you will gain your lives." These were the words that they were going to need to hear before they endured this trial. But not only these people, but also Christ through his greatest trial. These people were going to need endurance if they were to escape this deadly scene that the Romans were going to come upon the city. This chapter has many similarities for us today as we believe that we are living in the last days. We too need to be reminded to keep going and to press on. And as we see in a couple chapters over, Christ in the garden, his prayer to his heavenly Father as he was faced with a trial none of us here could ever imagine experiencing. Christ needed these words. We need also to be reminded to patiently endure as Christ, as through suffering we will receive an imperishable crown. And we have Christ to look to as an example as we run the race that is set before us. Now, the word endurance found in verse 19 of Luke 21, you might have the word patience, and the word means a cheerful endurance. The only other time that this word is used in Luke is in Luke 8, verse 15, which is the parable of the sower, and specifically when Christ is speaking about the good ground. Luke chapter 8, verse 15 reads, "But that on the good ground are they, which in an honest and good heart, having received the word, keep it, and bring forth fruit with patience." Those who receive the word in this example here, they keep and they bring forth fruit. But they don't just bring forth fruit, they do so with a cheerful endurance. So now I want to examine this word joy, which is commonly found next to the word endurance in the New Testament. And we'll consider why these seemingly opposite words are commonly paired together. And we will follow with looking at tools and the things that we have been provided in this life to help us and to encourage us in our personal relationship with the word endurance, as we wait for the return of Christ to establish the kingdom of God on this earth. So turn with me, if you will, to James chapter 1, a reference that I'm sure that you all know well. James chapter 1, and we'll start at verse 1. Verse 1 reads, "James, a bondservant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes who are dispersed abroad, greetings. Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. And let endurance have its perfect result, so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing." So verse 2 starts with the words, "my brethren," which is speaking about and to his family, his true family in the faith. The tender care or solicitude James has for his true brethren in the faith is shown by his constant use of this term in his spiritual appeal. James is urging his fellow believers to listen and to understand what he's about to say next. "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations." And the word "count" here, or "consider" here in this verse, is from the word hegeomai, which is to lead the way, and therefore to bear in mind or to keep always in view. The best way of countering trials or temptations is to keep at the forefront of our minds the joy that is set before us. We think of Christ in Hebrews 12 and verse 2. But also in Psalms 30 and verse 5, which says, "Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning." So James continues in his writing, "knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh or produces endurance." So two key words are found in this statement. "Worketh," that is used here, you might have the word "produces." This is the word, the Greek word, which that I have on the right-hand side of the slide here. I'm not going to try to pronounce it. It means to perform or to finish. And the word implies accomplishment of something by intense personal effort. That's the word "worketh." In this statement, it implies an effort on the part of the believer to develop patience. Patience comes as a result of faith working in oneself. That is what James is saying. He's not minimizing the difficulties of conquering life's trials, but points to a living faith as the means of achieving the victory. Next, the word "worketh," we have the word "patience." Some render patience as endurance. And the Greek word for endurance, which is also on the right-hand side of the screen, literally signifies an abiding under. It implies to stand one's ground, to survive, or remain steadfast, and also to wait. It thus expresses the idea of a patient endurance. Lack of faith will manifest itself in impatience, causing those affected to fear when in trial. And we see Christ in Revelation appealing to the saints also to remain separate from this world, to keep their garments clean. In Revelation 14 and verse 12, here is a call for the endurance of the saints, those who keep the commandments of God and their faith in Jesus. So we can have joy today in our affliction, knowing that God is working in us to shape and to mold us, so we can have a place in the kingdom through his mercy, if we can but endure until the end. So whatever worries we have now, whatever pain we are enduring, we can look to Christ, who suffered in all areas as we do, and who sinned not. We can look to Jesus, looking to Jesus, Romans 12, verse 2 to 3, looking to Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Verse 3, consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be weary and faint in your minds. He endured the cross. He endured the shame so that we would have endurance and not grow weary. Sometimes enduring a trial isn't for the benefit of ourselves alone. It's for someone else. And I think that I know, at least for myself, I can often forget this. The trial we are facing might be developing our faith, but it also provides a hope and a strength for someone we might know. Christ endured suffering each day and on the cross that we too might run and not become weary. Knowing this, it might be able to help us when we are faced with various circumstances. We aren't just overcoming for ourselves and God, but also that we might be an example to help others. The cross is and was the deepest injustice the world has ever seen. And yet through pain and suffering on Christ himself, we have been given a hope and a peace. The cross was not forced upon Jesus. He was as the sheep that was led to the shear. He was oppressed and afflicted. Yet he did not open his mouth. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter. And as a sheep before its shears is silent, so he did not open his mouth. The cross was something that Christ endured so that the joy of the resurrection might be known and experienced by those he loves. Jesus knew the unsurpassed joy of the resurrection, and it was because of this hope along with his love for you and I that enabled him to freely endure the suffering and the pain on the cross. If we are to be followers of Christ, we must develop the same level of endurance as we too take up our crosses each day to follow him as we wait for his soon return. And as Paul reminds us in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 10, his desire is to know Christ. Philippians 3 verse 10. His desire is to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and to share in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death. Just as Jesus endured the pain on the cross, we too, his people, are invited to know his life and the peace that we can find in him, even in the midst of pain or trial. We can be comforted today by the love of God in Christ, shown on the cross, and seek strength in the body of believers, our family here and around the world, as we wait for Christ's soon return. So for CYC this past week, we looked into the topic of overcoming. One of the things that we looked at was the need for endurance in trial, that we might be able to have strength to overcome. During the class, we participated in a shared activity in creating a mind map. I wanted to gain an understanding of some words that come to our young people's minds when we think of this word endurance. So what happened here is 20 participants from CYC typed in up to 5 words that came to mind when thinking of this word endurance. The bigger words on the page means that these words were typed in the most. Determination being the most common word used, then words like strength and patience, teamwork, were other words used multiple times, just to name a few. And I wanted to use this and provide it here for your viewing tonight, so that you can, in your own mind, reflect on words that come to your mind when you consider this word endurance. And how maybe this is a similar, or maybe it's different, to that of our young people. You see, I would understand that our personal relationship with endurance changes as we grow older. In what ways do you think that this mind map might be different if we engaged with individuals in our meeting who are over 50? Maybe words like patience or long-suffering, love, and hope would be words that are used more. So I just wanted to reflect briefly on the word determination that was paired with the word endurance here. Now, determination means firmness of purpose. As a young person, as you know, sometimes it can be hard to be motivated in the truth. When it feels like we have all the time in the world, when we have strong influences and distractions all around us on social media, school, friends, and work. And in these years of our life, we are working to make the truth our own. Determination is a big part of what it means for us as young people to endure. We need to be firm in purpose, which can be difficult as we might be uncertain at times with what our purpose is. This reminded me of a hymn that we often sing, or at least when my papa is speaking, hymn 377, which highlights the various stages of life, and specifically the first line when the writer is reflecting on the days of youth. Hymn 377, which reads, "In the bud of early springtime, in the days of early youth, when the heart is fresh and tender, Lord, impress us with thy truth. Teach us how to shun the evil. Teach us how to love the right. Ere the days of evil sadden, lead, O lead us in the light." So I wanted to wrap up our thoughts this evening by considering both a positive and a negative example of endurance that we can find in Scripture. It's important to understand that endurance doesn't just mean to have faith alone, but also to use our faith to propel us forward into action on the race that is set before us. So turn with me, if you will, to Zephaniah chapter 1, and we'll read starting at verse 12. Like the writing of many prophets, the book of Zephaniah follows a pattern of judgment on all the people for their sin, followed by the restoration of God's chosen people. Zephaniah's primary target for God's message of judgment, the nation of Judah, had fallen into sin under the reign of their king Manasseh. Zephaniah's prophecy call was for the people to seek godliness and purity in a nation sinful to its core. The people of Judah had long since turned their backs on God, not only in their personal lives, but also in their worship. This reflected the depth of their sin and the deep need for God's people to be corrected on their path. So if you're in Zephaniah, we'll start at verse 12. Zephaniah 1 verse 12. "It will come about at that time that I will search Jerusalem with lamps, and I will punish the men who are stagnant in spirit, who say in their hearts, 'The Lord will not do good or evil.' Moreover, their wealth will become plunder and their houses desolate. Yes, they'll build houses, but not inhabit them, and plant vineyards, but not drink their wine. Near is the great day of the Lord, near and coming very quickly. Listen, the day of the Lord. In it, the warriors cry out bitterly." So in this passage, we learn that the people had become stagnant, or you might have complacent. They had lost their endurance. They had started to become influenced by the nations around them. And we learn earlier on in this chapter, the influences of those around them and the pressure of their lives had now influenced them in such a way that they had become stagnant or complacent. And the word stagnant here means, as the strong definition puts it, is to shrink, to congeal, to curdle, or to settle. And I looked up on the internet the reason why things become stagnant. And what I found, I thought could be applied pretty accurately to this example. This is what I found. Things like water or air become stagnant when they are not flowing or running. Things can become stale or foul by standing as a pool of water. Characterized by a lack of development, advancement, or progressive movement. So just like the people in Zephaniah's day, so also were the people in Haggai's day, a few pages over. In this book also, we learn of a people who had lost track of the house of God because of the afflictions and the trials that had frustrated their work. They soon got discouraged and stopped what they were called to do, and they had become comfortable with the material things of this life. They gave their attention to their own homes, building and fixing their own houses, and not the ecclesial house. This is a similar message that we need to hear. Christ's return might seem to be taking longer than we had expected. And we know that in the last days, people will start to say, where is the coming of the Messiah? This is a call for us here tonight to endure and to be ready, to be watching and waiting with oil in our lamps, that we wouldn't be found growing weary, but we might have strength in the last days to overcome. Will we look back at our various difficulties in this past year and be upset that we didn't do more, or have drawn closer to God and our brothers and sisters? Galatians 6 verse 9 reads, and let us not grow weary in doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. I now want to briefly consider some positive examples that have been provided for us in Scripture of people who endured to the end. And it's also important to mention that some of the best and the strongest examples of endurance are those brothers and sisters, our aunts and uncles in the meeting that are here with us this evening, who have remained faithful despite various trials and difficulties faced in this life. Those who still serve in humility and behind the scenes, helping to bring those of us who are younger encouragement on our walk. Most importantly, God has left on record men and women of old who overcame as they looked to a future age. I want to briefly consider this evening on the screen, as we can see, God provides us a way to endure by reading his word and learning about others who also overcame. And we learn that God is the God of both endurance and encouragement. So Romans 15 verse 4 to 5 reads, for whatever was written in former days was written for our instruction, that through endurance and through the encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope. May the God of endurance and encouragement grant you to live in such harmony with one another in accord with in Christ Jesus. Who do you look to in the Bible for perseverance? Well, we all look to Christ every Sunday together, and we should look to him each day. My mind went to Hebrews 11 and all of these men and women who displayed their faith through works, who endured their trial as their confidence was in God. Since we have all of these men and women of faith to look to, who have displayed great faith through works, we can run with greater confidence and with greater endurance. And then even more than that, we have the author and the perfecter of faith to look to as an example. What are some things that you do in your daily life, in your weeks and your months, to help you to help yourself provide endurance to you personally and also to your family? We remember Christ's sacrifice each Sunday, not only his death, but also his life, which showed us great endurance, and ultimately his resurrection, which provides us in great encouragement, where we can find new strength and endurance to continue to persevere. And we have been reminded this past Sunday of the power of the Word of God and prayer, and the need to trust in God and his will, knowing that he has a plan for us. If we're going to have endurance in this life, we need to seek first the kingdom of God, and all of these things will be added to you. When we do this, we lighten our load that we carry, and we run with less baggage, with less weight, because we know that whatever happens is in accordance with God's will. Right? We think of Hebrews 11, people who looked for a kingdom for an age that was yet to come. These men and women endured difficulties that we would never even come close to facing. Because they had their eyes set on God's promises made, they were able to endure. I want to now look at individuals who provide great examples for us of what enduring in this life can look like when we seek first the kingdom of God. So turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 8, and we'll start reading at verse 1. Second Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 1 reads, Now, brethren, we wish to make known to you the grace of God, which has been given the ecclesias of Macedonia, that in a great deal of affliction, their abundance of joy and their deep poverty overflowed in the wealth of their liberality. For I testify that according to their ability and beyond their ability, they gave of their own accord, begging us with much urging for the favor of participation in the support of the saints. And this, not as we had first expected, but they first gave themselves to the Lord and to us by the will of God. So we read, in affliction they had joy. And there's that word joy again. In affliction they had joy. In deep poverty they had an overflowing wealth of freedom. How if they were afflicted did they have joy? And how if they were in poverty did they have wealth? How did they give beyond their ability when they barely had anything to give? Well, the key is what we read in verse 5. And this, not as we had expected, but they first gave themselves to the Lord and to us by the will of God. They first sought the Lord God and to help others. They looked first to the kingdom. That was their secret. These individuals prioritized their lives to follow Christ. Material possessions and afflictions seemed less important, and they were able to overcome these stressors and material wealth and personal trials. They were able to overcome, and not just by a small amount. They had overcome, and in their endurance, they were able to have joy. And they might have been poor, but they found great wealth beyond their means in the liberty of Christ, liberty being the freedom that we can find following Christ. So before we close our time together this evening, it's important to mention that it is not by our own strength that we can endure in this life. There's nothing that we can do by our own strength to endure that we might receive the crown, but only through God's mercy and through Christ. I can do all things through Christ who gives me the strength. And if we think of an example in Scripture of both physical endurance and spiritual endurance that was needed, it would have been the children of Israel wandering in the wilderness. And I don't know about you, but it would have been a really hard time in those conditions with that meal plan and with that level of travel, with that length of travel. But we see here both physical and a spiritual endurance that was needed and yet was lacking. And we are amazed even more at these examples of these spiritual leaders, Moses, Joshua, and Caleb, as they not only had physical, but also spiritual endurance. And we consider the words of Moses to Joshua as he is passing on his role of leadership to Joshua to continue this work that Moses was first called to do. Deuteronomy 31, verse 6 to 8 says, "Be strong and courageous. Do not fear or be in dread of them. For it is the Lord your God who goes with you. Do not leave. He will never leave you nor forsake you." Then Moses summoned Joshua and said to him, "In the sight of all Israel, be strong and courageous, for you shall go with this people into the land that the Lord has sworn to their fathers to give them, and you shall put them in possession of it. The Lord himself will go before you and will be with you, and he will never leave you nor forsake you. Do not be afraid and do not be discouraged." Deuteronomy 31, verse 6 to 8. We are not alone on our walk towards God's kingdom. God goes before. We have the word of God, which provides a light for our path, which provides examples of men and women of old, that by them we might have endurance, and we also have each other. Endurance doesn't just change the end result you're working towards. It changes who you are today. Running can be difficult to do alone. It's easy to be discouraged, to talk ourselves out of doing it. Our pace can often slow. But when we have someone next to us to keep pace with, someone who is there, not even to talk with, just to be there beside you. And if you're anything like me when jogging, I can't physically talk anyways. But just knowing someone is there beside you to keep up with you makes all the difference. Having people alongside to cheer you on to keep going, reminding you that the finish line is close. We are called to bear one another's burdens. If that is what it's going to take to help our brothers and sisters whose pace is slowing and who is starting to lose their hope, this is what we are called to do. Hebrews 10 verse 23 to 25 reads, "Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stir one another up unto love and to good works, not neglecting the meeting together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see that day approaching." Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23 to 25. We have each other even in this time of isolation. We have each other to be strengthened by and motivated by as we see the Lord's return is near. Let us consider and act on stirring one another up unto love and good works as we see the day of Christ approaching. And I want to close by reading a verse from Hebrews chapter 10. These verses emphasize what we have been considering this evening in endurance and the joy that we can find in difficult circumstances, as well as the confidence and the strength that we can find in the Word of God, the faithful men and women of old, and the hope of the resurrection. Hebrews chapter 10, and I'll start at verse 31. Hebrews 10 verse 31 reads, "It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. But recall the former days when, after you were enlightened, you endured a hard struggle with sufferings, sometimes being publicly exposed to reproach and affliction, and sometimes being partners with those so treated. For you had compassion on those in prison, and you joyfully accepted the plundering of your property, since you knew you yourselves had a better possession and an abiding one. Therefore, do not throw away your confidence, which has a great reward. For you have need of endurance, so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what is promised. For yet a little while, he who is coming will come and will not delay. But my righteous one shall live by faith, and if he shrinks back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we are not of those who shrink back and are destroyed, but of those who have faith and preserve their souls." Thank you.